I've called it divine opportunities for sharing your faith. Divine opportunities for sharing your faith. And often these divine opportunities can come through problems, they can come through hardships, they can come through difficulties. One of the most powerful ways that Israel as a nation was able to witness for God was because they were being rebuked and chastised by the Lord and being sold into slavery. And enemy soldiers came and took over the land and took them as slaves back to their home nation. And often through that kind of situation, God was able to work in bringing them to repentance and turning them away from their backsliding. And God also used them as a witness to the nation that they were in. And many times, divine opportunities to share our faith come through the difficult circumstances of life. And we have the hope, we have Christ within us. No problem is too big. No problem should destroy us or make us fall down. No, Jesus is with us to strengthen us. He sympathizes with us. He's full of compassion. And he wants that compassion to be worked in our lives so that we in turn can reveal the compassion of God to others that are going through the same situation. And really every person in the world is going through situations that even Christians cannot avoid. You know, and sometimes we can think, well, God, why do you let this happen to your people? But God's, you know, God sends the rain on the righteous and the wicked. And he also, you know, when Israel had to go into captivity, you know, there were many innocent children had to go through that situation. So God, he has to take people through situations. So it's not, oh, that's not fear. No, it's laying hold of God's grace in that situation. Now, what I really want to share in the aspect of these divine or godly, God-given opportunities to share our faith is being led by the Holy Spirit. Coming into knowing a greater awareness of God's presence and being led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pick this out of Acts chapter 8 from an evangelist called Philip. A great persecution had come against the church. And it was really led by a man who eventually becomes, you know, one of the most powerful apostles, the Apostle Paul. So it's very interesting how he was a key even before he got saved. Yeah. And it's very interesting how God works in people's lives before they get saved and even can use them for his glory even though they're not saved. And this persecution caused the believers to be scattered. And the good news is in verse 4 is that those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. You know, we're going to different ways that God allows our lives to be broken. But even in that situation, even as we're scattered, that is, in fact, a divine opportunity to share our faith. And then we have this man, Philip, who goes down into Samaria and basically has a healing crusade, healing revival, gospel meetings, and the miracles break out. But the point that I really want to come to is a bit later on in the next part, because an angel tells him, speaks to him and says, go from this place. And he's told where to go, and he begins heading towards that place that the angel has told him to go. Then I want to pick it up from verse 29. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said. Unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Okay, this is an incredible witnessing opportunity to Philip to share his faith. And as an evangelist and wanting to inspire other Christians to share their faith and to witness for the Lord, there's something very beautiful just from these verses. So let's remember Philip's heading somewhere by God's direction. And often, even though we're heading in the direction God wants us to go, we don't know what's going to happen in between moving and getting there. And often, just the actual going is the God-sending thing that triggers the unique opportunities from the Holy Spirit. But Philip, he had to hear the Holy Spirit speak to him. And I was thinking, you know, if Philip could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, then Jesus Christ, I just wrote it down when I was sitting there, then Jesus Christ, being a perfect man, even though Jesus was God in the flesh, he humbled himself, became just a human, but he was a perfect man. If Philip could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, like what we're reading here, just imagine how Jesus Christ heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I was just pondering on that because, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And it's something that I want more from my life, and I want to inspire you to come into it as well in your life, is being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit was revealing to Jesus and to Philip here, and wants to reveal to us the Father's will. So Jesus, he was able to see what his Father was doing, who he was to pray for, because it was the Father's will for that person to be healed. And that revelation, that leading constantly in Jesus' life and ministry was by the Holy Spirit. So I was just really gripped by that simple point. You know, here is Philip, an evangelist, hearing direct words. Now, you know, it probably wasn't an audible voice. I know in sometimes in the Bible God does speak audibly, but that is very rare. If you take the whole Bible in the thousands of years, how many times God spoke to people audibly? You know, Samuel, he heard God's voice audibly as a small child. He didn't recognize it was God. But then a little bit later, it talks about how Samuel heard God's voice through the Old Testament scriptures. Basically, the writings of Moses, because not much of the rest had yet been written. And he heard God speaking to him in that way. And we want to continue to seek God. Lord, we want to walk in your presence. We want to hear your voice. And often it's a very soft, still voice that God is speaking to us. I like one very wonderful example of Jeremiah the prophet. When people came to him and said, "Give us a word from God." And Jeremiah basically told him, "Yes, I will wait for the Lord, wait upon the Lord for the word." And he said, "I will wait upon the Lord for 10 days. And then, "Jeremiah, you're a mighty prophet. Can't you just hear the Lord in 10 seconds? Give us the word from God." You know, there are times when God speaks instantly. Think of when Isaiah the prophet had given the word to King Hezekiah. Basically, you're going to die, get your life sorted out, your time is gone. And he's walking away. God speaks to him instantly to go back, because Hezekiah had prayed. So I definitely know there are times when God just speaks instantly, powerfully like that. But I think often, you know, I like that example of Jeremiah. It gives us confidence. Sometimes we do need to wait upon the Lord for 10 days. Could be longer, could be shorter. And really know what he is speaking into a situation and into the direction and guidance that he wants to give us. So Philip hears the voice of God, and it was telling him to actually do a simple thing, just to go near a chariot and stay near it. You know, there wasn't any more direction, there wasn't a prophecy, you know, go and speak this prophecy. No, it was just go near. And then we see Philip, he did that, and we see that this was a divine arrangement, because it was perfect timing. Perfect time. And he gets there and he hears this man reading the scriptures. And he asks him a very wise question. Well, because we've got a world full of religion, but do the people understand? And that's the important thing. You know, people can look so religious and pretend, and they can look such like a good Christian, or in many cases they look like such a devoted Muslim, devoted Hindu, devoted Buddhist. But then you ask them, now do you understand? You know, in Africa, many of them are praying in Arabic language. They can't even understand the Arabic language. So they just look so devoted, look so religious, but no understanding, no personal friendship, intimacy with God. And here was the point of witnessing, of being in a God-divine appointment. It's to bring that understanding. And basically this man, having an open heart, he invites Philip to come up and sit with him. A God-appointed divine opportunity to witness, led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to quickly give some examples of my own life and times where I've really felt God was leading me by the Holy Spirit. And often sometimes it's easier to look back than to look forward, because looking forward, we've got to walk by faith, not by sight. But God does give us, let's say, little signs here and there. And I remember the first time, because I started sharing the word of God reasonably young. The power of God hit me when I was 16. I felt God say to me, I want you to begin straight away. So it was actually by the time I was 17, I left school, just trusting God to open the door to be an evangelist. And I was working for my parents, just waiting. God, what are you going to do? And God opened up the door for me to join a team down in the South Island. And it was just a group of young people. And we had come towards the end of our time on the team. And I was sort of praying about, what, God, what do you want me to do next? Praying about situations. And that night, I just felt God say to me, I want you to go and preach on the street tomorrow. Just a simple little word. Being a 17-year-old, never done it before, you think, well, how am I going to do that? You just got to go out with fear and trembling. And so I said to my friends, one of the ones that was still there from the team, I said, God told me last night I have to go and preach on the street. So he came along with me. We're just standing there, people are walking, nobody's wanting to listen, thinking, what do I do? I just start sharing something. There was a few school girls who, I don't know if they were bunking school or they were just late, but just shared the word of God and then walked home. And as I was walking home, because I didn't think many people listened, as I was walking home, a person coming, he said, thank you for sharing that message. It was just, God gives little encouragements when you're beginning. Because you think nobody's heard you. He says, thank you for that message. A year or so later, I then went to Bible college. And I was praying, God, where do you want me to go? Because in this Bible school, they have this special weekend where they sing, you've got to go out and evangelize. Or you've just got to go out by faith. So I was thinking, and I was just praying, God, send me to Hamilton. Send me to Hamilton. And in my spirit, it was always no. I always like that. When you pray, and you're like hitting a brick wall, it's because, thank you, God, you're saying no. It's actually good to know and have a clear no. So I was praying, God, where do you want me to go? And I felt him just say, go to Wellington. Now, I had no car. No money. I was thinking, how am I going to go to Wellington? So, okay, Lord, I feel you're telling me to go to Wellington. And I went into the meal to have dinner that evening. And there was a lady there, and she said, oh, I'm going to Wellington in the weekend. So I thought, oh, this is my divine opportunity. So I said to her, can I get a lift to you, with you, to go to Wellington? I didn't say to her, well, God had just told me to go. And she said, yes, there's one seat spare. The car was full, there was just one seat. So it was a divine opportunity. Anyway, we were travelling and we got about halfway and we wanted to have a little break. And I got out of the car and I saw these Hare Krishnas walking along. Of course, easy to recognise because of what they're wearing and their clothes. And I actually had a book with me about an Indian Christian called Sadhu Sundar Singh, which was a perfect testament. And I was praying, God, who do you want me to give this book to? So this Hare Krishna walked past, and I gave it to him, and he took it, and I explained to him, this was a powerful man of God, how he met Jesus Christ in India, and he took the book. Okay, we went down to Wellington. I had no place to stay, so I was just planning to do street witnessing the whole weekend and maybe just see what happens. So anyway, I didn't have any place to stay that night. So this was middle of the winter and it was freezing cold. So I spent the whole night trying to shiver away on the side of the street somewhere. And anyway, I went into the centre of town the next morning. And here come along all these big group of Hare Krishnas doing their dancing. And the same guy was there. So he invited me to go back to their temple. They've got a Hare Krishna temple, which they had at that time in Wellington. And they were having a special thing. And I just sat at the back of that meeting, just weeping for these people. You know, every time they would come into that room, there was an idol at the front. They would, all of them would bow every time they came in, and every time they left, they would bow. And I just sat at the back weeping and weeping. And I noticed a few of them looking at me, wondering, what is he crying about? Anyway, I got an opportunity to share with them. And the sad thing was you know, there was backslidden Christians there. And one of them even said, oh, I used to speak in tongues. Then again, it was maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, I was praying again, God, where do you want me to go this time? And I felt God say to me, I want you to go back up north, up home for the weekend. Again, I didn't have any transport, but it just opened, someone was going up. So I went up home. And I was thinking, God, you've told me to go home for this weekend. There must be going to be something special. Now, when God tells you to go someplace, you know, there's got to be something special here. Okay, so that Friday night, we arrived, went into town. And I'd done street evangelism Friday nights, Saturday nights for quite a lot in that. In my hometown during those years of the early 90s. This was still the early 90s, but I'd never seen so many Black Power people there that night. As if the whole group of them had turned up and they were all wearing their patches. Anyway, I saw one of them, so I felt that God was telling me to go and witness to that one. So I went up and I just began saying, I'm a Christian and I just wanted to share about God. And he was really listening. And I was sharing for a couple of minutes and he was listening well. Until one guy walked up to me and he kicked me in. He didn't kick me up. He kicked me on the bottom of the shoe and he came with force. Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the president of the scam. So I just realized that was a divine opportunity called for by the Holy Spirit to go to witness. So remember what God led Philip in a supernatural way by the Holy Spirit. And that is what I wanted to share testimonies about. Not long ago, it was a couple of years ago now, I was in one outreach meeting. And there was this big, gigantic, Maori guy. And he had changed because I hadn't seen him for about 15 years. And when I'd seen him, he was young. And now he was big. And he came up to me afterwards and said, oh, do you remember what you said to me the first time you spoke to me? I said, no, I can't remember. And he said, oh, I was walking in the street and you were behind me and you saw my shirt. And you said to me, you don't need Black Power, you need God's power. And actually, he never joined the Black Power. He was trying to join, what do you call that, prospecting or whatever. And after that, he never joined. So I realized that was another divine appointment. Another one was when I went into a nightclub to witness. And again, you know, you're looking for the leading of the Holy Spirit, but you're actually feeling nervous. God, it seems like no open door, no opportunity. So anyway, I walked into this nightclub. The music was going, it had the lights going, flashing lights everywhere. Anyway, I saw one guy, he was standing towards the front of where the dancing is, but beside some places where you could stand with your drinks. So I walked up to him. I said, excuse me, I've got some good news for you. Man, Do you know it's true that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? And he looked at me and said, Jesus is the devil. And I said to him, oh, come on, man. And I tried to share with him, and I shared with him for a few minutes. And so I invited him, again, that was a Saturday night, so I invited him to come to church the next morning. And really, I didn't think he would turn up, because I invited so many people to come, and they never turn up. But this guy, he turned up the next morning, so I invited him to come to my house. I had another friend with me, who I was doing the evangelism with. He was staying with me for the weekend. So we invited him to our house, my parents' house. We watched the Jesus film. At the end of it, he gave his life to Jesus. That was about 15 years ago. And at the moment, he sponsors me a little bit each week. So that's God's blessing and God's power. Now, I just want to quickly close with, I've got so many testimonies, not enough time to give them. But it's just God's leading and God's ability to set up situations. And for a lot of it, we don't actually see it when we're going through it. It's later. And for most of them, we won't see it until we get to heaven. Now, evangelizing, witnessing, you've got to walk by faith. And we're trusting for the voice of God, but often it's not an audible voice. We're trusting to be able to get closer to God. We want to walk like Jesus. He is the perfect example. I definitely know Jesus could hear the voice of the Spirit, the voice of God the Father, a lot better than we could. And in his perfect eternal relationship, but it's certainly, you know, he humbled himself, became a man, and if Jesus could walk in that perfect closeness, it's an example for us what we've got to aim to, what we've got to walk into, what we've got to desire. You know, and then when I was just reading that about Philip, it just hit me. Lord, this is what we need. Now, this is what God is giving. And I've seen it does win the ones and twos in a mighty way. We don't see it, and we're going to get a surprise when we get to heaven. That little thing you did, that God sent you there, it had a powerful effect. We don't know about it yet, but we're going to see that in heaven. So I want to encourage you to walk in faith, to be open, to share your faith, to ask for divine appointments. You know, I think in many ways in New Zealand, we're kind of still in defeat mode when it comes to evangelism, because we've witnessed to people and they haven't got saved. We've tried so hard to do this, and you know, I've seen many that, you know, the call of God is on their life, but they've fallen short of reaching it. And again, I just want to encourage your faith. Look from heaven's point of view, that even little words, even little things can work out powerfully. Yeah. So what I want us to really ask God on a continual basis is, God, lead me by your Holy Spirit. I suppose one blessing I've kind of had with my life, working as an evangelist, is that I've often not known what I'm going to do next. And that can, when that happens, you know, because I might go to a place and I might work there for 6 weeks, and then I've got to go to and find another place to go to and work there for 5 weeks, and it's constant, you know, God, you've got to provide. And it's a blessing, because it's meant that I've had to pray, and I've had to have God's guidance. And I certainly don't claim that I've walked in it perfectly, and I've probably missed God many times of the opportunities he's given. But I, on the other hand, I've taken a lot of opportunities. I've set out, I've taken the step of faith. And it is an adventure. You know, being a witness for Jesus Christ, it's exciting, it's thrilling. God is leading us by the Holy Spirit. And I'll just have to throw in one more testimony, because it was just a good one of the leading of the Holy Spirit. In 2008, I was working for Bill Sabritsky, and he wanted me to go and put up some Promise Keepers advertising in Wellington with another of his people. So we went to the airport to catch a flight from Auckland to Wellington. And I saw, just walking past, was Rodney Hyde. from the Axe party, the leader. And as soon as I saw him, oh, something jumped. Oh, I want to witness to him. So I said to my friend, oh, I've just got to go and talk to him. So anyway, he was in quite a hurry. So I was in a double hurry, walking really fast. I sort of walked behind him, just following from him for a little while. And he walked into where you actually put your bag on the thing for it to go through the machine. And just as he did that, I walked up and said, oh, excuse me, I see you're very busy, but just got one of these little booklets, and it was one of Bill Subrixky's Why I Am a Christian. And I said, oh, this is a powerful testimony. Would you like to just have a look at this? And he looked at it, he looked at me, and he said, no. And then he just went off. And I could see he was under such stress. This was right in the middle when he was having his court cases with Winston Peters, when he was seeking to basically expose Winston Peters and pull him to pieces. So this was right in the middle when he was just going to for that court case. And I think it was the next day I saw a photo, and there was Winston Peters sitting in the stand, and Rodney Hyde was on the side. They got the perfect angle of the photo, and it was on the newspaper. Okay, we put out our posters, and I had some meetings with Bill down there also at the same time. Okay, now it was time to go back, from this time, from Wellington, back to Auckland. It was in the domestic airport. And it was a divine appointment, because as I was just standing there again, who should come along was Rodney Hyde. So I thought, well, it didn't work the first time, go again. So I went a second time, and I was walking behind him again fast. I was thinking, this is funny, if you had a camera. And so then I thought, okay, right. I said, oh, excuse me, oh, you didn't want to read it the first time, but maybe you would like to read it now. And he said to me, oh, you're very persistent.
Yeah.
And he took it, and then he went. Now, I then had to go on an overseas mission, and when I came back, I basically found that Winston Peters' party was demolished, and the ACT party became that, you know, that middle party, which becomes very powerful in politics, the one that can play off the others.
Yeah.
And I sort of felt that the hand of God on that situation. Now, I believe that, of course, if a person like Winston Peters humbles himself, God can restore him. But I actually felt it was the hand of God that wanted Winston Peters to be removed at that time. So it showed me the work of God that he's doing in situations. And it just showed, there's so many examples like that, which is when you're witnessing and you're just playing a small part, but it's actually the hand of God, it's actually the Holy Spirit moving you and taking you into situations. And that's what I want our eyes to be opened to, because it makes evangelism so exciting. You know, when you're excited about something, you want to do it more. And sad to say, there's not enough excitement about evangelism in New Zealand. And I think it's because we've been spiritually blind. We've been blinded, we've been discouraged. Discouragement can bring that. But what God wants us to do is show us the adventure of walking with Him, and sharing the gospel with people, and knowing His divine leading, and knowing how He can speak through us, and trusting Him to give us words, and all of that, which is, you know, it's stepping out by faith. It's not knowing what to do, but it's, God, I commit my life into Your hands. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it's getting that breakthrough. So that, to me, is the exciting adventure of being a servant of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Let's all stand. Let's just believe for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. Let's believe for being able to hear the voice of God more, you know, directly. Sometimes it can be like a brick wall. God is saying no. Sometimes it can be a release, just peace. And you know that God is saying yes. In times, God can put words upon your lips.